This week on the program, like sand through the hourglass, this is Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Everybody, welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. If you're new to the program, this is a podcast of the comedy variety where we make fun of movies, good, bad, and otherwise. And this week, we are kicking off the 2019 Listener Request Month.
Woo!
That's right. This little gem of a film was requested by Brian from Louisville. This is what he had to say.
Hey guys, Brian from Louisville here. Love the show. My pick for Listener Request Month is Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time from 2010. I saw this on a date in high school, and the date ended poorly because I was physically angry about the way this movie ended. So let me know what you think of the ending. Thanks.
Now, if the ending was what made you mad about the movie, like, what about the rest of this piece of shit?
I get that. I mean, at the time, if I was in high school, the end of this really would piss me off.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I went through high school pretty much dateless. My question is, don't you want to read the room? Like, I've seen so many of these stories where people are like, I was on a date with a girl or a guy, and the movie stunk so bad, I was upset. He or she liked it, and the date was ruined. I don't know. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was kind of fun.
Question from the back here, Steve. Yeah. Did that ability to read the room lead to you getting any girlfriends?
Well, no, it did not. However,
this is hindsight. Like, now you know yes, what you yes, should exactly. have done. We're trying to get the kids laid
sure.
right now, Chris.
That's exactly. fair. And we should definitely do that.
You should see what someone else thinks and just mirror that.
Now, but here's the other thing, though. We shouldn't put this on the date that Brian had.
Sure.
Claiming that that person then liked this movie. It could have been a thing where this dude just didn't shut the fuck up about hating the end of this movie.
That's fair.
And that other person just wasn't having it.
And the girl pulled a Jenna Maloney and Donnie Darko, just looked at him and was like, are you okay?
Wow, that's a deep pull, man.
Everyone thinks he's so fucking red.
I believe it's just Jenna Malone, by the way.
What did I say, Maloney?
Maloney.
Oh, no, not like John Maloney.
Or Janelle Malone.
Yeah, that's. I thought you were making a 30 Rock reference.
No. Yeah. Right. But no, yeah.
So like we said, this is Prince of Persia, : The Sands of Time from 2010, directed by Mike Newell, who you may know from Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Donnie Brasco, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Love in the Time of Cholera.
Mostly pretty good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not bad for the most part until you hit this piece of fucking hunk of shit.
I mean, he's a workman, though. You'll never know he directed something. He gets out in and out like a
he's like a directing ninja.
I will say, in defense of this film, it seems inoffensive to me. I mean, there's a lot of offensive stuff, but his direction.
Do you know who Jake Gyllenhaal is supposed to be playing?
Okay, Chris Cabin, but the action.
Sure.
I was kind of okay with this movie for most of the part. I mean,
don't tell Brian from Louisville. Though.
Yeah. And it is in your wheelhouse.
I was on the date with him.
And it is in your wheelhouse. You are.
Swords and Sandals.
Yeah, Swords and Sandals are your game.
I see a glistening hunk like Jake Gyllenhaal in this movie. Oh, my God. Look at that beefsteak running down a sand dune with sandals on and with a sword. And I'm just like. Yeah, I could lean
famed
into this.
Iranian Jake Gyllenhaal.
You know, and at the same time, like, you're sitting here loving this sword and
not
sandal
loving.
Shit.
Not loving.
I wanted to take this magic dagger and fucking cut my throat with it. I hate this shit. I cannot watch this stuff.
You love time travel.
Dude, this is some phony baloney 1 minute at a time travel, this fucking minor league
Wait,
baseball
you think time
shit.
Cut makes
Where's
more sense?
The realistic time travel other than in Primer?
I'm not talking about making sense, Steve Sadak.
Okay.
I'm talking about you can only go back a minute at a time when your fucking sand runs out. Jerk me off.
Wait, what's the difference between that and getting your fucking gigabots hit by a lightning bolt?
A lot. There's a lot. That movie's entertaining, good performances, sure. Well-written, remembered by society decades after it came out.
When you're trying to make a movie, that's what you're aiming for. Sometimes you get them all, sometimes you don't.
You pull somebody in, speaking of remembered by society, you pull somebody off the street, make them watch Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, and you ask them at the end of the film, what year did this movie came out? They would be like, 2004, 2005?
Yeah.
It feels like this is a real late 2010. And I would never have guessed that.
Racially, you're right, Chris, also. It's kind of weird that this is 2010, and I think that's why I avoided it when it came out.
Might as well have cast Paul Giamatti in Menace to Society.
I would buy a ticket for that.
Also, I don't know why we're blaming 2010. We're still fucking doing this now. Like, this shit is still going on.
I just don't know why you made this movie the way it is. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Don't make this movie one. That's
a start.
But just like, just all of the white people, if you want, because I actually thought like the beginning of this movie is like, Jake Gyllenhaal's not the prince, is not actually the Prince of Persia. He's like an adopted Prince of Persia. I'm like, hey, good movie. Like, you know what I mean?
He's still
like,
from the same hometown.
Well, but like maybe he's a slave from a different era or something.
He fell off a wagon.
Yeah. He got lost on the lost
good old
along
wagon
the,
kids. Yeah.
But everyone in this movie is white except for like the extras. You know what I mean? Like, for the most part.
There's that one black guy who's like an expert knife thrower.
And everyone stop the tweets now. I know that Ben Kingsley is Indian or has Indian heritage. I'm stopping that right now.
We said otherwise on the Love Guru episode.
We ate some shit. I'll eat some shit.
You want? Oh, please.
I'll eat some shit.
I need a shit hoagie.
Do I have to supply it right now? Or
No.
Do you have your own
shit
right now?
Wait for John Waters to get here first.
Cabin, are you rewatching his filmography?
I am,
lately?
Actually.
So I was going to say, it's like the third fucking episode in a row you bring this man up.
I love him. What?
I'm just saying, this love apparently started 3 weeks ago.
So this movie is based on a video game,
right? Anybody play this thing?
I played like the old one for Super Nintendo a little bit. I rented it once and I was like, this isn't for me.
No, I had no idea what this is. Is it like an Aladdin thing? Or?
It's the platformer that I played, which was your 2D side scroller,
right?
Was very jump heavy. The graphics were pretty cool. The gentleman was wearing a turban at the time, but I think I was reading up on this on the way in here, in the early aughts, this game, Prince of Persia: Sands of Time, relaunched the series as kind of an action adventure kind of game.
A lot of like parkour type shit.
Yes,
in the new game.
This made me think like a Tomb Raider kind of game.
You're getting
into
a dungeon. You're getting a puzzle. Yeah. Da, 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 da.
Like, because it does. The beats are very game like a lot of modern action adventure.
Absolutely,
movies.
Great point, Chris Cabin. Speaking of Tomb Raider, that is our bonus episode this month on Patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
Another requested episode. Two video game movies pulled out.
It just happened.
Lara Croft Tomb Raider, the first Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider movie.
Yeah.
And I think just like that movie, this movie also proves we got to stop adapting video games.
We got to figure something out.
What the fuck are we doing? I mean, what the fuck are we doing? How hard can it be to adapt a video game?
Well, we did it once with board games for Clue.
Sure.
But we really haven't done it yet with this. I'm
with
shocked.
Video games. Yeah, I mean, this was actually this before Warcraft came out, which somehow made money, enough money. This was the highest grossing video game movie of all time, up to and including when Warcraft came out.
And this made like $90 million domestic.
Yeah, but like made $300 million
with a $200 million budget though, so it's still a total failure.
Well, yeah, video game movies are failures.
Yeah,
tend
Warcraft,
to be.
Man, that was bad. I will kind of defend that new Tomb Raider though. We get into
new
it on
Tomb
the
Raider
other
is
episode.
Probably the best of the bunch, which is sad.
I still think Mortal Kombat. That's my be all end.
I think that's kind of the gold standard. It's like steal the plot of a different movie and then filter your video game through it, and that's your movie.
It is so interesting how like I hated that movie in the 90s.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, yeah, I guess it's probably the best.
Well, because the bar has been continually pushed down farther and farther, that when you look at Mortal Kombat, you're like, wow, what a masterpiece.
And it's like just in the campy zone, but not to the point of like, what the fuck are we even doing with Mario Brothers? Like, that movie's almost unwatchable.
How about, you guys are complaining about Jake Gyllenhaal being cast as an Iranian prince.
Yes.
Christopher Lambert in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's a hood. That's some white face.
John Leguizamo playing an Italian.
Well, that's the
bad casting in all these movies.
That's the worst offender of them all.
So we open on a picture of the desert, and we get some fucking papyrus font, like we're watching a documentary where Michelle Rodriguez does ayahuasca, which is a documentary I watched last weekend, by the way.
Now, is this a fake documentary, and it's just a TV special hidden on Hulu to make people like Steve think it's a documentary?
Absolutely. It's like 67 minutes, which you know that you can smell a red flag right away. It's made by this rich guy. He's like, oh man, the
a movie made by a rich person.
Well, no, it's, I'll tell you why this guy's rich, and it's fucking hilarious. It's this guy's like, yeah, man, what even is existence? Blah blah blah. I did ayahuasca with all my rich friends, the most famous of which was Michelle Rodriguez for no reason. And
is this the same guy who did Easy Rider 2?
No, but he did. He in the 90s he bought beer.com. For $30,000, and then a couple of weeks later, sold it for $7 million.
Wow. In a couple of weeks, actually. You know what? I'm impressed by this guy. That's pretty awesome. I should also point out, I immediately thought about this from the opening thing where we see fireworks over the Magic Kingdom. This is Disney desperately trying for a new Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
Oh, for sure.
You better believe it. They could see that shit was running on fumes.
And speaking of the Magic Kingdom and all of the street rat action we're about to get, this is probably going to be better than an Aladdin movie that's coming out.
Well, yes, probably.
I mean, although racially the Aladdin movie is better because there's actual brown people in it, which is fucking thank you for
this movie does not have a juiced up genie.
Yeah, that's true.
Which means this movie's better.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the sands of time will tell.
I take that bet.
Ooh, ooh.
I bet no one's at least going to be weird.
You can't bet on opinions, you fucking gambling addicts.
We can't also.
How much you got?
We can't bet on a Chris Cabot opinion, which is the most people don't know this. He is one of the most contrarian film critics to ever walk the earth.
That's
confirmed
true.
Confirmed by hard data.
Yes, hard data. Like three guys at MIT.
Yeah.
Hard data. That's like a nerd porno.
Chris Cabot. His mother was a contrarian. His father a bastard. Then they formed him the most contrarian film critic of all time.
How does Liam Neeson know so much about my life?
Because didn't he give that interview to you?
I'm sorry. I did the one for The Guardian.
So we get one of my favorite movie tropes ever, which is a prologue that will be needlessly explained in about 20 minutes after the movie begins anyway. So why even have it?
And it's the worst way to display this kind of information where it does it like four words at a time.
Yeah.
So you're just reading like, I think it's honestly one sentence
that
is presented on like six different slide transitions.
I think I have
it's annoying.
Ooh, I think I have it here. It said some lives are linked across time, but that comes up really slowly.
It takes a while to get there.
Dash. Destiny. Let's start the movie.
That's great. That's awesome. I'm so excited for this movie.
And what you just read is like they put it up seriously, like one or two words at a time.
Yeah,
it is said that lives,
some lives,
some. No, no, gotta go back. Not all lives. Gotta start over. Gotta start
only over. A king's blood has destiny.
So we meet the king's son is doing something in the marketplace with this kid named Dastan. Dastan gets in trouble.
Isn't it Dustin?
No, that's the American version.
Well, it's Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. It's fucking like, Dustin.
Oh my God, if his name was Dustin in this movie.
That would be pretty great.
They call him Dusty the Dustman.
Oh, Dusty, Prince of Persia.
The Prince of Poughkeepsie.
Fuck.
Hell yeah, dude.
We are in the royal city of Nassaf, we are told.
Okay.
And the king's coming through, and something happens. Some kid's getting beat up, and this guy, Dastan, chucks an apple at this motherfucker and like stands up for this little kid.
And the king says, "That's a genius boy."
Yeah, here's this kid just standing up for another kid. Oh, I'm just gonna steal this little guy.
Well, they're about to cut his arm off, and the king was like literally tired of like he just got bored of it, like looking seeing people little kids get maimed. Like it wasn't like moral, it was just like I've seen that so many times.
Like, oh god, what else is on?
Like, I can't even shoot to this anymore.
Do you know how many rooms in my palace are filled with children hands? This it's is at after, least 17 at this
what
point.
What if we put a whole child in one of those rooms?
Well, cut him up. Oh no!
No! Leave him in one piece.
Oh,
something new.
I kind of like
feed him.
This
you
is
say?
Exciting.
Get clothes for him.
Calling him Dustin. All right.
He's caught, by the way, after like some serious CGI parkour. This shit looks terrible.
It's a lot of
like that, 9 years out, this does not age at all.
My eyes started to glaze over the second I saw this stuff.
And what sucks is you just know, like I knew right from that point, like this movie is just like a hair under 2 hours. I knew right from that second, that's all this movie is.
And of course, introduced to this movie in this scene is Sir Ben Kingsley. And you're like, well, he's evil. Well,
of course.
He's like, well, the boy deserves to get his arm cut off, my lord. It's like, well, of course, this fucker is.
Like, he's the number two to a king. Of course he's crooked. It's Ben Kingsley. Just look at him. Look at that eye makeup.
I mean, halfway through this, he starts singing, "Be Prepared."
Oh, he is Scar. He is totally Scar.
So that Dastan is adopted by the king. We cut to 15 years later. He's grown into Jake Gyllenhaal. And by the way, thank God for the genius cinematography from this movie. The yellow tint, or else I would not have been able to tell that we were in the desert.
Well, I mean, like, how you got to follow Benicio del Toro while Michael Douglas is off doing his stuff.
Exactly.
You could get really, really confused if you don't see it.
Guys, I've got Erica Christensen fucking ODing in my bathtub right now.
Wash off that yellow desert shit and get to my house. And where the fuck is Topher Grace in all of this?
I saw another trailer that Topher Grace did in all of his wisdom of the entire Star Wars saga. And I'm like, somebody get this guy some acting work. Like, just get this guy away from his editing bay.
And here's the thing. Like, I watched it. I watched it in its entirety. And you know what? It's pretty cool.
It's fun.
But listen, stop acting like this dude just cured cancer. You should have seen some of the headlines when this thing was revealed.
Yeah, so what is this now? It's just a trailer he made?
He just made a 5-minute trailer where he combined footage of every Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So including Rogue One and Solo.
Hasn't everyone on YouTube done that
but
already?
But it's like better because he's a millionaire.
So. Yeah, it's better because it's Topher Grace, but it's still just on Topher Grace's YouTube page.
Okay. Right, so that made news?
Oh, it made a lot of news. It was on like the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. No, exactly. Like, someone please. I know he's got this fucking Jesus movie coming out, but that's long since shot. Please find something for this guy to do. I'm so sad.
So we're about to lay siege to a city or a country called Alamet, which... there's some bad information. We're doing a little bit. I think we might be making a political statement somewhat of this film.
Just the tiniest bit here.
We're
invading this town based on false information that there is a treasure trove.
Yes.
They've
got weapons.
Like, illegal forges that they're making weapons to supply to the enemies of Persia.
Right. So we're going in there to bust that shit up
now,
based on bad intel.
Alamet is, they're rich in new deposits. Now, Cole, and you gotta go in front of the United Nations and let everybody know that we know for sure that those weapons are there. Tyler Perry, I know Madea's funeral's coming out, but before you do that, you gotta be Colin Powell.
Hey, Poppy! Did they get the sand glass yet?
I sure hope so, boy. My time's running out. Sand's almost through the hourglass. Oh, better get the magic dagger.
Well, press the button on his wheelchair to go back in time.
The button. We're going to get to the button.
Oh, this movie pushed all sorts of buttons for me.
So there's three brothers. One is a guy I've never seen before. One is the aforementioned Prince of Persia, Jake Gyllenhaal, in all his hunky gloriousness. And then the third is the fucking snake-bitten actor, Toby Kebbell, who's in every bad franchise and every bad movie.
Yep. I was about to say, I haven't seen this guy before.
He's the dude who plays Dr. Doom in the newer Fantastic Four movie.
I can't even picture the face.
He is the villainous ape in War of the Planet of the Apes. Or no, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, okay. That narrows it down.
He's in a Hurricane Heist as like a lead. He's in...
I didn't see that one.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad news. He's in... Oh, Christ. That Ben-Hur movie, he's in that.
Jesus Christ.
I tried to watch that, and I couldn't make it.
But it was a sword and sandal movie.
That's why I put it on.
He's in a quote-unquote good episode of Black Mirror.
Yes, that's the one. That's one of the ones I've like the third episode. I was like, yeah, I'm okay. I was like, it's cool.
Yeah, is he fucking pigs in that? Or
he's not the pig fucker. No,
that's like some sort of eyeball recall situation.
He can like his home is controlled through his eyeball or some shit like that.
That's twisted.
You know, the Black Mirror. If you think about it, it's almost like looking at a screen, but you're seeing yourself back.
Wait, what?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's dude. Cool.
Dark Reflections.
You know, I'm just glad people finally stopped telling me I have to watch that show.
What
if the prime reason why I don't watch that show is because you couldn't fucking bump into someone on the street without them going, hey, did you watch Black Mirror? Have you watched the new Black Mirror yet?
Hey, what if your PS4 was trying to actually kill you? Think about it.
It's like...
All I can say is thank fucking Lord the Twilight Zone is coming back.
I prefer the original show of Black Mirror when I would go into the bathroom, turn off the lights, and say Bloody Mary.
Much better.
Well, no, you'd have to say that into your to Alexa. You say like, Bloody Mary to Alexa.
That's your Black Mirror
times,
episode.
And you're, then like, well,
oh, shit.
Happens.
Yeah, then it's like an electronic ghost.
And you're locked in the bathroom. You can't get out.
I'm always locked in the bathroom.
So, yeah, they want to siege this place because there's weapons. Ben Kingsley's way behind it. And they're fighting over which son is going to take the glory. And then Jake Gyllenhaal's like, ah, fuck it, I'll do it. Because I'm in great shape.
But he doesn't tell anybody else. He just sneaks in with all his little goon friends.
It's a mistake.
It's a big mistake. But, you know, because he's the hero of this film, I mean, this is the hubris of the hero. This is the journey he's got to go on.
He sneaks into this city through the arrow ladder. Come on, this didn't do anything for you guys. The arrow ladder.
The arrow ladder was pretty cool.
Arrow ladder was kind of cool.
It's fun.
It's like 10 seconds out of this 2-hour movie.
You look at that. A little fun, right there early in the movie.
Yes, I found a salty patch in this porridge.
It also just reminded me, though, of like, I would, if this, because this whole sequence, like all the action sequences in this movie, feels like what it must be like to play the video game. At this arrow ladder, I was like, this is a part of this game I would be balls frustrated at and screaming at my fucking television.
Although I'm not too sure about the science involved here, the momentum of this crossbow.
Oh, you're right. We should think
the
about
the
science here.
But also, like, this is not a silent way to break into something. People are like, ain't they shooting arrows at the fucking walls?
That's
what
true.
Are those fucking thud sounds? Hey, why are we talking like this? Well, it's a Prince of Persia. Everything's all mixed up anyways.
Is this an earthquake, as I heard of it?
Yeah, so he uses arrows to get up top of this wall, and he does some cool parkouring, and there is a shot that is an Assassin's Creed shot where he gets on top of this like vantage point and kind of like gets his surrounding.
It's a big video game establishing shot. I mean, they're still using it now because this also reminded me of that new Spider-Man game that I'm playing.
Oh, really?
Like, you can make Spider-Man like perch on top of a huge antenna and shit, and the camera kind of like goes around him so you can see the city. I think it's just like standard video game establishing shot.
And it's a post-perch a jump, too, like down into the ground, like in a swan dive.
It's exactly Assassin's Creed. Exactly. Those games are like that.
That movie, I will say, as much as I hated this movie, that movie is way more boring than this ever tried to be.
It's 10 times worse. That's got like weird time travel too, right?
It's like time
Yeah, it's like, I'm Michael Fassbender and me and my big dick are in the future, but we go back in time and I'm now my great-grandpappy.
Yeah, like they strap you in a chair and like shove some fucking needle up your ass and then you flash back to a relative's life or something.
So stupid.
So it's like, that happened to me. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm poor. Oh, wow, I'm even poorer. Yeah. Oh, wow, I'm dead.
How many of my relatives were tarred and feathered?
Well, now I'm just some kind of gelatin thing. I'm just wandering in the ocean. Shit.
Oh, yeah, dude, the ooze. The secret of the ooze.
So he through a lot of sort of slow-mo action sequences, he sacks Alamet and lets his buddies in.
Right.
And it's kind of amazing, like this entire legion of fucking dudes on horses with goddamn like spears and like what do you call it there? Banners and all sorts of shit.
Right.
They're like, oh, wait, the door on the left is open. Let's go that way instead. I don't think it's that easy to just sort of like redo that. Like,
because it's like they're at one point and they're like, oh, that other door on the other side of the city is open. Just hang a left.
Well, like, that's what you would do. Like, because what are you going to do? Still storm the gates?
No, but I'm saying, like, and what I think Steve is also pointing out is they go around as if it takes like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
He's literally on like the other side of the town.
But like,
unless
you're training,
it's not that big of a city.
If you got a map and you like want to go this way, and then like all these dudes, like the guy all the way in the back, I guess you're just following the horse and running.
It would take time, that's for sure. But I kind of want like a movie that's entirely a castle siege or something. Just like.
Just play out in real time?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Castle Siege.
I mean, that's almost Two Towers, but there's a lot of other stuff in there. But this Castle Siege is excellent.
We do get some boiling oil being dumped onto people, which
this
turns out he throws it.
Cool.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal throws a torch into it, goes on fire. Big problem here is that I don't see anyone running around on fire.
That's the problem, man. This movie is completely toothless with that shit. Yeah. And it's like, fine, you don't want to show like Game of Thrones-esque decapitations and whatever. Okay, but like, have some computer flaming oil fall on a computer person and he's running around.
Or
like,
hear some screams on. Or something, you know what I mean?
Anything. It doesn't even hit them. They're just like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, wall of fire.
What? Back up.
Yeah, totally.
Back up. Oh, no, it's on fire now. Really back up.
everyone's like, hey, good job, Gaston. You did a great job. This princess... It's kind of amazing. She gives this dude, Gemma Anderton is this princess who's like, we're intercutting with her, like, oh my
princess
God.
Princess Tamina, by the way.
Oh, I apologize.
No apologies. She has a name.
In the American remake, she's Tammy.
Tammy and Dustin.
Tammy and Dustin.
The American remake. So what is Persia in that? Ohio?
No, Poughkeepsie.
Prince of Pittsburgh.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Kevin already said Poughkeepsie. We got to start.
Prince of Poughkeepsie, Tammy and Dustin.
Hey,
I like
Dustin, you ever pick your heels in Poughkeepsie?
Now we're like,
I'm just down the road today, baby.
Now we're just like making the whackness again.
Yeah,
one of those
God.
Like fucking late aught fucking.
I didn't watch it.
You know, like indie movies where everyone's doing drugs and saying interesting things. Speaking of Ben Kingsley, by the way.
Oh right,
He's the dad in the whackness.
Yeah,
is he
no, he's the therapist.
Oh okay,
it's just you know.
I didn't see it. I was just trying to remember the trailer because I thought it looked. Fucking terrible.
It is fucking terrible.
But you're also reminding me of what the fuck was that movie with RDJ where they filmed in Astoria?
A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints. I kind of like that movie.
Yes.
But that's another one
you.
Of those movies that you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're all like doing drugs as teenagers. Yeah. One of our friends gets hit by the subway. Whatever.
Go back to the old neighborhood. Feel some stuff.
Well, no, it's the long enduring influence of renowned normal person Larry Clark.
Oh, there are people that will tell you that guy's a genius.
This princess is like, here, take this dagger. She takes her most trusted guard. There's a fight between this guard and Jake Gyllenhaal, which we don't see. Which is like when he gets the dagger, you don't see it.
I feel like I just see the guard falling.
Yeah,
he sort of gets it. I remember what you're talking about though, because it's in like it's wrapped in a cloth or some shit, and this dude's trying to like make a break for it. I think Gyllenhaal lays this guy out with like one swift parkour kick,
but again, which is great. But I mean, like this is a big moment for the movie, right? This is when he gets the dagger of whatever the fly.
Oh,
is.
Every moment's a big moment in this movie, man.
So like, you would want this to be kind of a cool fight or something.
Well, because the movie at this point hasn't told you that this thing is really that important yet.
Sure,
like, you don't know what it is. It hasn't been unsheathed
also,
or whatever.
To be fair, like later in the movie when Dustin.
Dustin.
I'm just saying Dustin guys. When Dustin, like, knows, he ends up turning on Persia and realizing this was the wrong thing to do. You don't want to think back on him, like, brutally murdering some trusted guard of the...
So but he does murder, like, at least 100 or 1,000 of these
Of course,
people.
But we're not dwelling on it. We don't have to be like, didn't he fucking, like, really... He stepped on that guy's face a bunch.
He poured a bunch of oil over a bunch of people and then lit it on fire.
Whatever. So they sack this place. Everyone's excited. Toby Kebbell is the youngest brother. He's like jealous of him. He's like, oh, that should have been me.
I think his name is Garvis, but we'll say Gary, I guess.
Gary. And then there's Toss, who we're going to call Todd in this.
Todd, that's
Who's the older brother, who's white as a fucking the driven snow. Somehow whiter than Jake Gyllenhaal.
Everyone,
I don't know.
He's like a
white, featured
BBC player. Like, it's really, really.
He's a lot of them are.
He's Michael Sheen white, is what we're saying.
Isn't Tammy as well? Isn't she?
Oh, yeah, as well.
Gemma Arterton, Tammy,
yes,
and Jake Gyllenhaal, Dustin, both, let's just say, went on a long vacation in the sun.
It's not quite brown face, but it's pretty darn close.
It's just like, all right, between takes, please lay in this tanning bed.
Also, we should talk a little bit about Jake Gyllenhaal's accent in this movie.
Sure.
He's like doing a Christian Bale in real life impression. Because when that guy starts talking, you're like, wait, who's talking right now?
It's weird hearing this voice come out of that guy's mouth.
It's silly. It's a silly accent. Like, it's we're not actually trying to do anything Persian or Iranian or anything.
You can't do that.
No, I know, but we're just doing British as British accents, and like,
because historical drama, the baseline is British for some reason. You know,
I just don't.
I don't even.
It
think
all
they
started when the British played the Nazis all the time. I think that was the patient zero.
So we go back to the home base, and we're celebrating having this big thing, and this is my favorite part of this movie.
Oh, for sure.
Where it's just, it's a quick 2 second thing, but it's really fucking funny. It's like one of these dudes, Toss, or the other guy's walking around like, where the fuck is Jake Gyllenhaal?
It's Todd and Gary.
Yeah.
I'm trying to use their appropriate names because I bothered to take notes of their names.
It takes place in Poughkeepsie.
Jake Gyllenhaal is wasted trying to do, he's like, all right, no, watch. I'm going to do this stuff, right? And he's trying to do like drunk backflips off this wall, and he just eats shit immediately.
This is a good reason why I never learned backflips, because this is all I would ever do.
It's just like the scene It's just like the scene in Prince of Poughkeepsie where Gary tries to get on the, Gary and our hero Dustin try to get on the Metro North while drunk.
Oh, that's dangerous. Yeah.
You know who would definitely have to be in Prince of Poughkeepsie, by the way, is Christopher Walken.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
He's somebody's like grandfather or something in this movie.
Yeah, he's got like an American flag flying on the porch.
Well, no, he could be like Ben Kingsley. He could be not, so.
Going, Dustin? You're getting on that train somewhere exotic.
Ben Kingsley's name's Nazim, so Ned. Uncle Ned.
Uncle Ned. So Uncle Ned, so Nazim, they sack the town. Jake Gyllenhaal's wasted, and like the brother Toss, who's like the favored son, is like, "Oh, nice knife, Jake Gyllenhaal. Since you betrayed my orders, I get to have it." And I think, is it Ben Kingsley who's like, "Don't take that knife. You've received enough awards as it is."
I believe it's Ben Kingsley who mucks this up.
And then Toss is like, "Oh, hey man, I got to do some stuff over here. Why don't you take this awesome robe back to Dad? I got this awesome prayer robe. It's nice and folded. It's a gift from Dad from the city Alamet. Everything's gonna be dope."
Have you touched it?
No, I haven't. Why would I touch a robe? Why would I put it on or anything?
That's weird.
Why would I smell it? And the other thing is also Gemma Anderton, who's Tamina, has been promised to Toss as like his wife to sort of
his
bridge.
Like next wife. We're told, we don't know the exact number, but we're told that Toss has many wives.
One is Jean Triplehorn, the other one's Chloe Sevigny. Uh-huh. Then big love joke there.
Yeah. And just Edie Falco, why not?
Who was that third woman?
She's around and stuff. Yeah, she pops up. She's on Once Upon a Time all the time.
Right.
Bill Paxton.
I think it's like Gina something.
Your third wife, Bill Paxton. That's right.
Harry Dean Anderson.
Stanton, you mean?
Oh, yes.
Harry Dean Anderson.
Who the hell's that?
Nobody.
Well, Harry Anderson. I don't know what Harry Anderson's middle name is. Could have been Dean.
Wait, no. Who's the fucking MacGyver guy?
Oh, Richard Dean Anderson.
Oh, I'm combining my Andersons. Mr. Anderson.
So he's like, "Okay, bring my wife to meet Dad. I'm going to stay down, locked on the fort. Hey, take this totally cool robe, which is really real and not so bad."
Right.
And so they go back to this party. And I mean, like, here's the thing. This is some Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat fucking favorite son, I'm going to kill this kid bullshit. Because this king is just like, "Oh, I love my fucking adopted son. My real sons are shit." And it's like every word out of this guy's mouth is my fucking real sons are garbage. Well, and this kid that I brought in is so much better than them.
To be fair, these fucking sons suck.
Yes, they do.
Because it's like, okay, I've already given this one Tossie.
Yeah.
Gave him a ton of wives. And he illegally invaded this city I didn't want to do. Like, the king was against it. He was like, "Why are we invading a holy city again? Okay, well, it's too late now."
The king's like, "I fucking told you those WMDs are not in that
and
city."
And it's a holy city that hasn't been breached in 1,000 years. And Dustin was the one that was able to do it. I mean, he could have lost his army against this city, but, you know. So his sons suck.
His sons do suck. The other one's like just a brash idiot. Toby Kebbell is such a brash idiot.
He's like, "My one son invaded that city against my rule. And that other son, He keeps being in all these fucking franchises that nobody wants to see him in.
Hurricane Heist! Really? Go to your room!
Yeah, I know you were good on Black Mirror. Everybody says you were good on Black Mirror, but you weren't good!
Also, just... I'm sure it's fine, everyone. You don't have to tell us. I know you probably already tweeted it, but I'm just saying.
You can undo that tweet. So
I can't believe they didn't watch Black Mirror.
So he's like, okay, you know what, Dastan? You actually get this woman for your first wife because you did such a good job, and you get to keep that cool knife, which probably doesn't have supernatural powers. We're almost positive it doesn't. Oh, you got a rope there. Ooh, let me just... snuggle on into it.
And it's just amazing because you're right. Everything out of this dude's mouth is just making these two sons want to fucking murder Jake Gyllenhaal.
Of course.
Anyway. And then it's like, oh, and he totally takes credit for the robe too. He's like, and also, here's this robe I got you, Pop. So they put it on him, and immediately this dude starts disintegrating, basically.
I need to see him turn into a skeleton.
They say, absolutely.
Yeah, he starts getting like hot under the collar, like the Joker just shook his hand. But what is this poison? I need more info because it's poisoned. They say it's poisoned, but it looks more like a magic spell.
Yeah.
So you already got a magic dagger. Just make a magic spell.
Fucking awesome would it be, though, if like he's screaming and you're seeing all this smoke, and then the cloak opens and it's like fucking Mars Attacks or something. And it's just this dude's head and a skeleton.
That would be so much fun.
You guys have to see Beastmaster.
Oh, is that happening?
There are dudes in Beastmaster who are like, I don't know if they're cave creatures necessarily, but they get like bat-like wings and they'll grab you.
I think you could call those cave creatures.
Yeah, they'll grab you, Chris. They'll envelop you in their wings and then they'll open it up and your bones will just fall.
Oh, I vaguely remember this. I think I saw one of those scenes before I greened out watching that movie.
It's a perfect way to green out.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was quite comfortable with my decision that night.
But again, you might retain more.
But, you know, yeah, exactly. Let's go a little cartoony with some of this violence. Later we have these, like, kind of supernatural, like, soldiers that show up, and they need to be way more supernatural. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're just kind of, like, a little too good with their weapons.
These are like the snake guys, right?
Yeah.
Snake assassins.
Like Persian ninjas.
Cobra.
Cobra!
Exactly.
But yeah, like he dies. You don't, again, like, and you don't, and I understand you want to get your beloved PG-13. He could be like screaming, and then you turn to Jake Gyllenhaal, his face is shocked. You turn back, spooky skeleton in a rope.
Exactly.
I know what happened. That's awesome.
Exactly. I don't need guts falling on the floor. I just want a fucking spooky skeleton.
I still don't, I think like Disney was just trying to not do that because, I mean, they allowed that at, I guess, in the second Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hey, Jake Gyllenhaal. You afraid of ghost stories? Because you're in one.
Oh man. I forgot about that ass line in one of those movies.
Oh, man.
Is that the first Pirates?
That is the first one.
Wow.
You better start believing in ghost stories. Because you're in one.
Cabin, I think you're talking about, is it the second Pirates movie?
That where there's penetration?
Like, underwater army of zombies.
Skeletons walking.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Penetration's in the third one.
Gotcha. Oh,
that's the strange tide.
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
Whoosh.
It's about the motion in the ocean.
That's
in one.
You better start believing in sex stories, because you're in one.
It's not the size of the boat. It's the motion in the ocean. You're in one.
Orlando Bloom's like, wait, what?
It's like, why am I making out with Johnny Depp right now?
Oh, you better start believing in slash fiction, son, because you're in one.
You got to suck it before you fuck it.
Because you're in one.
This is definitely dialogue from some Pirates of the Caribbean porno that
pretty
sure exists.
Of course. So everyone's like, oh my God. And there's no trial or anything. Like, he did it. And they like start rushing him.
Absolutely. So the thing you want to do here is grab this woman who's also a prisoner of your people and jump out the fucking window and run away with her.
His best bud gets killed here. I mean, this character doesn't really matter, but he does get murdered.
Oh.
He like gives him some cover, right. And he's like, yeah, no, run, Destin, and he gets fucking murdered.
Are we to believe that this best bud is the best bud from the beginning of the movie?
Yes.
Same dude.
One that he was saving from the hand chopper.
Right.
And
right.
If there were a Pirates, if there was a Prince of Persia 2, he probably would be in it, maybe, or probably recast with somebody.
Oh, 100% recast.
Yeah, he'd be the winter Persian soldier.
So they go on the run. And whilst on the run, this is when we finally get the fucking the secret dagger with the time shit.
But there's so much, and this sequence with the two of them just running off on horseback launches
one jump ahead of the hitman, one jump ahead of the pride.
What the fuck?
I'm singing some Aladdin songs, dude. Oh,
is that from Aladdin?
Years. That's from the. That's from Aladdin.
Years. I don't remember any of the songs really. I'll tell you this though. This sequence starts off the endless fucking, like, Indiana Jones-esque bickering between these two characters.
Sure. Oh,
and God. It is insufferable.
It takes them way too long to like each other. Like, to the point where, like, you just don't like each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't going to work.
I mean, you know, they both just lost their kingdoms, right?
That's
I mean,
true.
They're, you know, it's a tough time for both of them. But speaking of Indiana Jones, like, this does feel like that not only there, but in the action sequences, especially later on. And it turns out this guy also directed a bunch of the young Indiana Jones shit.
Which oh, did
totally
he really?
Makes sense.
Oh, interesting.
I was going to say, it was less Indiana Jones, more the desert scenes in Aquaman to me. As far
still
as
haven't seen it.
Great movie.
But you're in a desert in the movie Aquaman?
It happens. Indeed you are.
Fuck.
Yeah, is your mind blown?
Well, because I'll tell you this. I was disappointed. I know it's my own fault. I waited too long to see the movie. But when I finally had some downtime to see the movie, it was a thing where it was playing in literally two theaters in all the five boroughs, and both times it was like 9:15, 9:25, and I'm like, I'm not seeing a 2.5 hour presentation at 9 o'clock at night, and it's like way the fuck downtown from where I like, and I just. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to be the guy that rents the big screen blockbuster. Let this be a lesson to you kids. Don't snooze on the things you want to see on the big screen, because you know what? They're not going to be there forever.
It's so hard to say goodbye.
You say that now, but kids, rest assured, you're going to be like bewildered in like 20 years when suddenly they're doing a retrospective of it at fucking Film Form.
Yeah, dude, if I could schedule.
They did Total Recall at Film Form, and I'm like, what world is this?
No, I know, dude. I want to do a Jason Momoa retrospective. Let's do it.
They'll do a James Wan retrospective eventually.
There's a bunch of fuckers in that movie that you could do a retrospective on.
Oh, Patrick Wilson, what the fuck's going on with him retrospective?
Yeah,
not
dude,
enough
fucking
interest. Festival canceled.
Triple feature, man. Get some, or I guess maybe just a double feature. Those Insidious movies. I don't remember. I don't think he's in part three. That's a different story.
No. But when Jason Momoa dies, it's gonna be a great retro. Like they'll do it when he dies for sure.
Don't have to wait till someone dies to do retro.
I know, but you never know when.
We'll be showing Aquaman 1, Aquaman 2, and 2.5 episodes of Game of Thrones. Good night, everybody.
Perfect. I'm in. That's all I want.
And the Bad Batch.
Dude, that movie fucking sucks ass.
I love it.
God, what is there to love it, you fucking contrarian shit?
Sorry. And we'll also show him in that pink cool suit he wore at the Oscars.
Yes.
Oh, here's also 10 minutes of the show that he was on that aired on the Sundance Channel that absolutely no one watched.
It's some kind of Western. Hold on. Let me go look up something on the interwebs. Jason Momoa Western series.
What am I selling tickets for .com?
And finally, we will close out the restoration with his much-acclaimed remake of Citizen Kane.
I'd buy a ticket for that.
In the future...
Rosebud, brah.
In the future, all retrospectives will be at some guy's house. So you just go... Oh, wow. And he's like, no, no, sit down. $20 a ticket.
Wait, so Rosebud was the name of a surfboard? Yes.
Oh, shit, I like this movie.
Also have the surviving footage from... Dune, which you, as you know, burnt up in a fire before it could be finished.
Or after the beloved Timothy Chalamet was killed in that on-set accident.
And also, if you stick around long enough, I'm going to put on some porno later. Just a couple buddies watching something fun.
Two-on-one admission. I mean, two-for-one admission.
It's the Pirates of the Caribbean porno.
On Stranger Babes or whatever it is. Oh,
that's probably one.
That's definitely probably
you're in one.
So whatever. They're bickering in the desert. She like tries to trick him into
the solution would be to kiss me.
Yes.
And then kill me.
And he's like, "Well, I'll kill you. I'll kiss you, princess. It's me, Jake Gyllenhaal, in a movie where I'm a prince of Persia. I'll
kiss you right on your Persian mouth."
And at this point, she like gets the better of him, and he finds this fully functioning fucking a button, like an honest to goodness clicker at the end of this dagger that allows him to travel back in time. And he's like, "Whoa, that's weird." And he does it again, and he like this. And this looks like shit, by the way. Well, the
would
weird,
you prefer wait, a lever?
Wait,
a lever or a magic word Steve. Would be nice.
Oh, Steve come on, no word. Way. That would be really stupid.
Wait, Steve, did you not read the trivia?
No.
No, this was originally it was the sequel to Click. It's Click 2. Oh. And then they had it was much like, you know, how Die Hard sequels turned into God knows
yeah,
what.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Turned into Prince of Persia 2.
So Adam Sandler sat on the rewind button too long. He's like, "I'm in Persia, gabagoo." Yeah.
Originally, Click 2 was Adam Sandler going to Iran to watch TV.
Here's the thing, and I will defend the button, even though it's fucking stupid, but how neat is it that in a video game adaptation, yes, to activate your thing, you got to push a little X button?
It feels very video. I mean, like, and obviously that's the point, kind of, sort of.
I did appreciate that the way that this plays out is it looks like you're having kind of like an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Something about that, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's something.
Oh, you're warming up to it.
No, I'm not. I still fucking hate this movie. It was bored to tears.
And then she's like, and he's like, "What time travel?" She's like, "Wait, what time travel?" Like, she's trying to play it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Even though she knows the score about what this dagger do.
She does. We keep bickering. We get into another fight in another desert.
Well, there was a weird thing right here, though.
Please.
To explain some of how this stupid thing works. One thing that this dagger is capable of doing is running low on battery.
That is just...
Because, like, he goes to do it again or whatever, and it doesn't work, and she goes, "You've used up all the sand."
Dagger
and
don't like, work without sand unless... Wait, no. Dagger don't work unless you got... Never mind.
The point is Back to the Future 2 reference. Also,
thank you. I'll just say that from now on.
It's just so stupid. It's like, oh, the fucking controller ran out of a charge. Like, oh, you used up all the sand. Come on.
You'll have to go to this part of the map to get more of the magic.
Absolutely.
Sand.
You're going to have to talk to this dude and barter with this fucking guy.
Son of a fucking bitch. I just got the dagger and I'm out of fucking sand and my goddamn master sword broke. It took me a fucking 3 weeks to get that fucking thing and it can charge now? Okay.
Okay. Oh, and there's not a mini boss there. That's interesting. That's a nice lie that we're all going to believe.
Fucking go fucking 10 minutes out of my way and I gotta go through this whole fucking fake dungeon, fight a fucking skeleton,
burn off all my health packs, and then I gotta go somewhere else to get those.
So he realizes what the dagger is, and so he then starts thinking, oh, that's why my brother Tuss wanted it, so if he has this thing he can go back and change shit and he can become the most powerful dude in Persian history.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Is the idea. But you also, as it turns out, I mean, you're in the desert, man. There's fucking sand anywhere. This takes a special kind of sand.
Let's just call it magic sand. It's magic sand. Yeah. It's magic sand.
Yeah. It's like you got to go to like a special gas station that sells just the diesel shit to fill up your stupid dagger.
Just make it like multicolored or something. You know,
yeah,
like
that'd be something.
The
now
stuff
I
that
know
you fill like the old Coke bottles with. That's the best. Go
oh,
do that.
Man, magic sand. That's sand art?
That's the stuff. That's what you put in this stupid glass dagger.
The shit that parents had to waste money on so you can just have something to do at your kid's fucking birthday party if you didn't want to go to a Chuck E. Cheese but also didn't have a pool in your backyard? Magic sand party.
Wow, I never even heard of this.
It was come on, you saw Matt. Like with like bottles with like different color sand in it.
I'm just so much.
They definitely sold these in Woodstock. I'm sorry.
I'm just so much younger than you guys. I wouldn't even get your frame of reference.
Hey man, welcome to the Woodstock General Store, man. We're having a sale on wacky sand art, man.
Oh, that's the okay. So yeah, it wouldn't be magic sand. It'd be wacky sand.
No, but that dude definitely sold me candy cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
they're usually sold at the same store.
I remember. Candy cigarettes, yeah. Dude. That's something you won't see anymore.
Not anymore, but boy, was
fucking,
that something.
Yeah, these fucking millennials, man, don't know what candy cigarettes are.
I think
millennials ruined the candy cigarette industry.
Well, you guys are bitter old Gen Xers, and I'm a young, plucky millennial. And Actually, I think we all fall under the millennial.
We're all
banner. Like
senior millennial.
Exactly.
Senior
millennial. Yeah.
Also, dude, there have been a lot of words used to describe you over the years.
Me?
Yes. However. Whoa. Plucky, not one.
No?
Not one.
What if I get feathers? Think about having them installed.
And you've always been leaning more towards the senior than the millennial.
I'm just an old soul, Chris. Yes. Just lost in this
they
world.
They get captured by Alfred Molina, who, by the way, is in this movie. I was shocked. I was like, wait, what?
They get captured as they start riding into the Valley of the Slaves. Mm-hmm.
And now, to contextualize this for you, Valley of the Slaves is just Sherwood Forest, and Alfred Molina is Friar Tuck, and the dude that throws the knives is just Will Scarlet.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, pretty we much. Also have to talk about the first time we see Alfred Molina. He goes like,
he goes
motor
like, what?
Red.
You were doing the finger thing silently for so long. I thought for a second you forgot this was a podcast.
No, no.
I was like, what the fuck is he doing? You're right, though. He hits play on Awesome Mixtape number 6, starts listening to fucking Motorin.
He's in his underwear. He's waving a gun around for some reason. Who knows why?
There's a little Persian dude behind him throwing snaps.
And yes, yeah, so he... I think actually Gemma Anderton, I think, steals the knife, runs away. Jake Gyllenhaal gets stolen by Molina first.
She fakes passing out and then fucking hits him in the head with a bone like the beginning of 2001.
And this guy, Alfred Molina, is like, oh, my friend here, it's your classic. And he's a black guy, and it's like, oh, it's your classic. Like, oh, this guy saved my life once, so now he's indebted to me forever.
Right.
And or I saved his life once, blah, 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 blah. And he's from the Mbaka tribe, I think, as they call it.
Correct. He says he's from Mbaka, and that they're all like masters of throwing knives, I guess, is the idea.
Sure.
And he's like, his Wookiee, and he's Han Solo.
Pretty much. And I mean, like, the idea is like, oh, he's so good with knives. And like, there's this stupid runner, which when they do it at the end, it lands with a thud, which is like, have I ever told you about the Mbaka tribe? And the first time it's like, no, what? And it's like, well, they're the best throwing knife people in the world. So the blah, 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 blah. And like, that's just kind of like in there that kind of gets brought back later, whatever.
Yeah. No, well, it gets brought back for a very important reason. This guy is a very important character in this movie.
Is he, though?
Sure. Yeah. But before all that happens, we have to have the thing of, like, this dude throws a knife, and it's like, boom, and, like, almost hits his dick.
Yeah.
And then Alfred Molina has to be like, oh, don't you think he could throw it a couple inches higher next time? And I'm like, yep, stabbing dicks.
I mean, not only is he Friar Tuck, though, Eric, he's definitely a little bit, or more than a little bit, doing Johnny Depp in Pirates, right?
Yes.
He's a little bit Keith Richards-y, swaggery.
Yeah, you're
it's like
words.
A
totally right.
Sexy merchant Friar Tuck.
But it's Alfred Molina.
Yeah, but he's a sexy older man.
And he also, like, a Fagin vibe a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
Like a mastermind, or it has like a series of crimes.
Do you think that Jake Gyllenhaal and Alfred Molina talked about that one time when Jake Gyllenhaal was almost in Spider-Man 2?
Probably not.
Well, he's now in Spider-Man. What is it? What is it in your new legislation? It's like Spider-Man 9?
We're in Spider. That would be Spider-Man.
And you got to count Spider-Verse 6 in there.
Oh, that would be 7 then, I think.
Great.
Hey, great.
He's playing the maestro?
Yes. Mysterio.
Mysterio.
And yeah.
Okay. Because there was in Spider-Man 2, Toby got hurt, and he was almost not going to be able to do the movie.
How did he get hurt? In the Pussy Posse?
They say it was on Seabiscuit set, but I think it might have been Pussy Posse related.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever it was a back injury.
Oh, shit, dude.
And, like,
yeah,
when you
got to
be doing
is.
All that like wire shit. I think it was
too
a
much
thing.
Humping. Too much humping.
They said, here's the thing. Yeah, they said it was a Seabiscuit thing. I think it was a thing. They were all at a diner, and he talked shit to the wrong dude, and then a bunch of guys kicked him in an alley.
Yeah.
It was an injury sustained on Don's plum. That would be amazing.
And then.
Yeah. By the way, for new listeners, if they don't know, Pussy Posse, we're not just being crude dudes.
No.
We're just
with
actually.
Attitudes.
No, we're not that. We're referring to a sexual cabal. That Leonardo DiCaprio ran,
aka a group of friends.
Well, yeah.
What about a group of sex?
Well, I think
criminal-ish friends.
I think
sex sex enjoyers.
I think Toby probably got a pretty mean kicking from those boys, but then the monster from the garbage from Mulholland Drive finished him off.
I feel like that across town, fucking Jake Gyllenhaal and his buddies are literally just playing N64 and eating Doritos and like are vaguely stoned. Like, this is kind of a great night.
Then someone like fucks up on Donkey Kong and goes like, oh shit. And they're like, oh, Jerry just said a swear.
We're the buddy posse because we're buddies.
Duh. The title seemed pretty obvious to us. When you have to name a group of buddies.
All right. So who is in the buddy posse?
Oh, God. Great question. Oh, and you know what sucks is I knew this was coming and I was like, you don't have a thing.
No. We got so
people
we got
around that age. Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling is in the Leo role. Ryan Gosling.
He's also coming off the Disney Channel stuff.
And totally. He's Canadian and he's nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yep, the buddy posse.
Wait, shouldn't it be called the Buddy Brigade? Okay. Just to keep with the alliteration.
Yeah. Okay, I like Buddy.
How about Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
I think that guy had his own fucking group.
Charlie Hunnam. Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie Hunnam. Yeah. Absolutely in the Buddy Brigade.
Tom Everett Scott.
Oh, he's a little older than those dudes, but maybe.
Charlie Hunnam's like, Hey, Jake, are you going to come over? You're going to go over his house? We're going to be watching Ghostbusters 2 later.
Oh, man, I love that one. It's better than the first one, if you ask me.
I'll bring the Cheetos.
It's him. You know who could be in it, though? You said Seth Rogen, Kevin. I don't know about that, but definitely from that like era, Martin Starr. Mm, he could have been in the Buddy Brigade.
How about James Vanderbeek?
Oh, yeah, the Beak is definitely involved.
I'm having a hard time trying to remember like nice people.
But on the Vanderbeek though, Cap'n, Joshua Jackson definitely part of the Buddy Brigade.
Yeah, also would be. Yeah,
another nice Canadian, absolutely part of the Buddy Brigade. Loved playing N64.
I know we all like Mountain Dew, so I got every kind of Mountain Dew they had. We're having a party, boys. How about that?
And then someone shows up, it's like, guys, I got it, holds up a bunch of bags of Taco Bell.
And then when X-Men came out, everyone, the Buddy Brigade was so excited, they all went to see it. And the Pussy's Posse stood right in front of them. They were all drunk and ratty. They're ruining the movie.
Oh, great. All right, who's going to go up and get the manager?
We just want to play Xbox. You guys want to eat Box.
Oh, shit, Topher Grace?
Oh, yeah.
Could that have happened?
He could have been editing Star Wars. Yeah, he's there.
Yeah, that's exactly. You're totally right. Oh man, we're gonna go to Topher's house. He's got a sick fan edit of the Phantom Menace fight.
And because he would be significantly older, the older brother in all of this that they all kind of look up to, there's two of them. Elijah Wood and Sean Astin, the both of them.
Oh,
they
yes.
think that those dudes are fucking great, right. And they're constantly trying to hang out with them, but they're always a little too nervous to ask him to hang. I love the Buddy Brigade. I would much rather hang with the Buddy Brigade.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Hey, no sex crimes.
Yeah. Fellas, guess what? They're going to premiere a new flavor of Doritos at the local supermarket tomorrow. We're going to break in tonight and get the new Doritos for ourselves, buddies. But we're going to leave money behind so that they know that we didn't steal it, that we just wanted the Doritos so bad. Boys, let's do it.
It's almost the plot of like Fanboys, that terrible movie about breaking in to steal the Star Wars before it comes out. But we've got to go to the Dorito Ranch, the actual ranch. they'll have it there a week even before the store. Store's the backup.
We'll triple the value of the bag of chips just due to the shopkeep getting put out for us breaking in.
Ooh, French cheese plate Doritos.
Cut to the across town to the Pussy Posse. She's fucking dead.
Shut up in there, man. I'm trying to fucking push off.
Oddly, both rooms, Pussy Posse and Buddy Brigade, they both smell like cheese.
Yeah. The question is, because as we know, all of these posses and brigades,
right.
You need a magician because you got David Blaine in the Pussy Posse.
Right. Oh,
I don't know if you've got a friendly magician.
I don't know if there's ever been a friendly magician. They're all
nefarious.
Amazing
Jonathan's a little too old.
Yes. Also, that guy's a fucking maniac.
How about a friendly stage singer, Josh Groban?
Okay, yeah. Yes, all right, so
that's what it is. You get a musician in their cabin. Good call. Replace magician with musician. Josh Groban hanging out. Because you know what? He's got a set of pipes on him, but he's also a fun guy.
Sure. I mean, within reason.
Boys, boys, I've got the new Halo. I've got it. I got it. I got it. I got it.
And just to make this episode evergreen, yes, okay, maybe some of those guys have been Me Too'd by now.
And yeah, not nice. It's a really good point.
You know, Josh Groban might have crimes against humanity. Or Lord knows what, yeah. Folder, I don't know. But, you know, just saying, this was recorded in 2019.
Actually, though, hang on a second, because if I recall the big expose on the Pussy Posse correctly, they had a lady member.
Oh, okay.
The woman from Roseanne, Sarah Gilbert.
Sarah Gilbert, okay. So yeah, I'd say,
and I mean, find someone better.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Adams.
Oh, yeah.
She's okay. Part of the Buddy Brigade.
That's it.
Sure. Yep. Yeah, that sounds right.
And they've all politely never tried to make out with her.
Yeah. Everyone has a crush on her. Yeah, but no, everyone's too afraid to act.
She's mostly the D&D, the designated driver when everyone else has had too much root beer. You boys are shaking too much to drive the car. No, thank you. I'll drive.
She was older than the rest of them, so she bought them all tickets to the new R-rated horror movie that came out that weekend.
Her boyfriend that only shows up every once in a while, Paul Rudd.
Oh, deaf.
Yeah.
Deaf. Anyways, so like...
That's great.
We go to Alfred...
Now that no one's listening.
We go to Alfred Molina's palace, which there's ostrich racing.
Just what? Come on.
I kind of like this. Actually, I think that there were some real ostriches in here.
There are real ostriches.
Yeah, I was into that. I was into the
no
real
ostriches were harmed in the making of this film,
but
hopefully.
Not CGI. It wasn't like CGI gleep gloop ostriches.
No, there's some real ostriches there. There's also some gleep gloop ostriches in
sure.
there, probably.
A big whatever happens. They fight, da-da-da-da, they get away.
Molina knows the score.
That's
He's
right.
He's like, don't you think I know that your brother has a, you know, I almost said a warrant out for your arrest, but, you know, a price on your head kind
sure.
of a thing.
Yeah. And it will, you know, and they escape. Basically, and his idea is, I have to go to my very noble uncle, Ben Kingsley, who's totally not evil.
Right.
Because I've never seen a movie before. And, well, I'm the prince
of... They haven't been invented yet.
That's a good point.
Ben Kingsley as Georges Méliès hasn't invented them yet.
Maybe he should have seen like a puppet show before. He's been like, hey, my uncle kind of reminds me of this evil puppet. Oh,
we're going to go and sit. We're going to see the new episode of Ben Kingsley and Judy.
And whatever. So he escapes to his father's funeral.
But this is what I don't get.
Sure.
They leave the town. Go into this Valley of the Slaves or whatever.
Yes.
And then just go right back to the town?
Or it's a different town where the funeral's taking place, possibly?
I think it is a different town because it's then in like more Persian territory.
Guy's getting buried in his hometown, you're saying?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, like he's getting... Yeah, exactly. He's not going to be buried in the city they just sacked.
Yeah.
So and the Valley of the Slave thing, they talk about also like Alfred Molina played that up to make it a bad reputation.
Right.
When we're all actually just nice guys.
But
which
where
also
did the guy
me,
where did the dad get murdered though? Where was that at? I thought that was back in the home base.
Yeah. But
where the funeral's happening.
No, that was in Alamet.
Yes, that was in the city they just sacked. You don't have to be buried right where you're killed.
No, I'm saying I thought that the dad was back at the hometown.
Oh, No. He was at Alamet.
Oh, so this dude rolled up after the sack.
Yes. Yeah.
I see.
He threw himself a party, got killed at the party.
Mm-hmm. Classic story.
Time, yeah.
And
but by the way, the Valley of the Slave thing, that's what made me think of Sherwood Forest, because it's like this fake
record. Oh, yeah, where it's like, oh, it's so scary, you don't want to go there,
exactly.
Et cetera.
But
and
it's also, bullshit. Everyone's nice there.
And speaking of Sherwood Forest, Alfred Molina is very against taxes. He's like a libertarian.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to live out in the fucking middle of nowhere because mm-hmm. I hate taxes.
He curses the idea of roads.
Yeah.
He's very much a libertarian.
So... Like you do when you're trying to sneak back into your father's funeral to pass your crooked uncle a message, the best way to do it is to accidentally hop inside your father's hearse, which happens. Douche chill, man.
Oh,
you
are face to, yeah.
You're face to face with your father's fucking death mask.
And he meets up with Ben Kingsley. He notices Ben Kingsley's hands have been burned.
Uh-oh.
And he goes, why did it get burned? Why did it get burned? How did it get burned?
Oh,
when I was taking the robe off of your father as he was dying. And Dustin's like, I don't remember that shit happening. Oh, he must have fucking made the poison robe or whatever. You know?
How do you make a poison? What is the poison robe?
You just dip it in poison.
Everyone is like, ah, shit, it's a poison robe. Like,
oh,
it's a
fuck.
Classic Persian mafia murder
weapon. It's like, I've never seen anything like this at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, my cousin went that way. He had himself a poison robe, and then his lady cut his head off.
At least he didn't get poison pants. That's pretty bad.
What if it's like a powder, like an extreme type of itching powder?
That could be, yeah, like an anthraxy kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe it's that.
But wouldn't then everybody else around you be dead?
That's
the funniest thing is that there's that, like, when in the Buster Scruggs, when he does this and the dust thing comes up. Like, there's a dust cloud when the guy puts the thing on.
Oh, right.
And I was assuming everybody around him is fucking dead, too.
Here the thing is, it's just like, it's sort of like first responders for 9/11. Like, they're gonna die.
Oh,
like,
but
they're exposed to it. They're not gonna die right now.
It's not prolonged.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. If you were just in the epicenter of that asbestos or whatever, sure. But, like, everyone else is gonna breathe it in a few years,
okay,
maybe.
I guess I could believe that.
Olden times, so people are just like, well, you had a long life. You lived to 23.
Yeah, that's primordial anthrax. That's the worst kind.
So he realizes Ben Kingsley is evil. The movie moves on. Ben Kingsley goes to get... Ben Kingsley is revealed as a villain fucking obviously, by the way.
Yeah, it's like he starts twirling that mustache like 55 minutes into this movie. I'm like, movie, I was there. I was there from frame one.
This is when he goes to a stunt show featuring these, like, assassin people.
Yeah.
And he's, like, looking around, like, that's impressive. Ooh, that's impressive.
Because we're told that the king ordered this shit shut down, these, like, shadow assassins or whatever.
Sure.
But Ben Kingsley, as the movie explains, ordered it to keep going.
Oh. You know, keep it up.
What if we were to come to a different understanding and the brother of the king was actually kind of the king? How about that?
And
that doing anything for you?
What I'm saying is Jeb has to be on board.
There is a dagger shooting guy. That guy's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's the dagger shooting guy. There's whip guy.
Whip guy's fun.
Snake dude is my favorite.
Snake guy. Yeah.
That's like, shut up everyone else. Snake guy's here. Fucking snake guy, man. Wow.
And all your inanimate objects that you use as weapons, this guy uses a fucking wild animal.
Right, yeah. Everyone else has got the dagger. You know, it'd be great if they kept going down in inanimate objects. Like, oh, there's chair guy.
Motherfucker's walking around with rattlesnake underwear. Like, yeah, just don't. I wouldn't fuck with that guy.
He has snakes under his sleeves of his shirt. It's amazing.
You might love this movie.
I tolerate this movie. I understand its flaws, but...
So it's the new Tomb Raider is the number one. This is number two.
You know, I'm trying some new stuff right now. To be honest with you, it's kind of changing my viewing experiences of these movies. I think I'm enjoying them more due to it.
Oh, God. You've been reading the teachings of Buddha, haven't you?
Well, no, I have not. But what I've been taking has really mellowed me out, man.
That's what you want, dude.
Yeah, those things are pretty good. It's around here, by the way, that Garciv, Toby Kebbell, is murdered.
Well, there's this great thing in this
movie. Oh, no, Gary!
Gary bites it, dude.
It's this great tradition in this movie that it only happens twice. I wish it happened five times, where Jake Gyllenhaal, through all of his bad accent, finally convinces one of his brothers, is like, look, I'm on the right. I didn't kill Dad. It was our evil uncle. And he's like, you know what? I believe, and he gets killed.
Yeah.
Every single time someone's like, you are right, and I'm going to...
Is he then blamed for that dude's death, too?
No, I think at this point, it's just whatever.
Okay. All right.
Because, yeah, these dudes sack them, and like there's a fun fight.
The assassins, right?
Yeah, the assassins.
Like, the snake guys, they're throwing snakes at people.
And Kingsley right now is telling Tuss, he's like, by the way, dude, your brother Dastin... He wants to stage a coup, and he's going to kill all of us, and he wants to be the king of Persia.
I kind of love there's this one scene. It's kind of in the middle here when we're on the road where the snake guy first attacks. There's a lot of cool snake death. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal is cutting these snakes in half lengthwise and fucking sideways.
That's pretty awesome. So Jake Gyllenhaal somehow gets the hell out of here. He finds Gemma Arterton hiding out in the desert. She's like sleeping under a little tree.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, hey, you got to come back to the movie now. You've been out for like 20 minutes. Yeah. You got to get back to the movie.
Killing snakes. That's another Assassin's Creed thing. You have to kill a fucking shit ton of snakes. Well, just
kill snakes at all. That's his tale as old as
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
Killing snakes, man. Yeah, they do that in the Bible.
Pitfall and Atari, dude. That's you're killing snakes left and right.
When are they going to adapt that into a movie, right?
Pitfall? Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's a treatment somewhere.
Or even better, a couple of fan films.
Oh,
hey, yeah. Topher, did you finish our spec script on Pitfall, man?
Yeah, I think it's probably too long. Do you think like 500 pages is too long for a Pitfall movie?
I couldn't finish it because my sister was on the computer. Could you get off, please? Stop talking to your boyfriend.
We can cut out the flashbacks to the Nixon administration.
I'm going to need you boys to get out there and take the pitfalls and find those gems or whatever the fuck it is. No, you're going to get a bunch of concrete, you see. You're going to get a bunch of concrete. You're going to fill in those pits so no American can fall into a pit ever again.
See, it's good stuff, I'm saying. Hey, we don't have to cut it.
It's set in Cambodia. It makes sense to have Nixon.
All right, listen, Topher, listen. How about this, man? Three words. Pits throughout time. It's just a movie about different kinds of pits and people falling in it.
You know what's popular? Okay, you know what? Pitfall. Into the Pitfall-verse. And we have several different snakes coming in from different dimensions.
Yes, Mr. President. This is Henry Kissinger to inform you that these pitfalls could have punji sticks or other types of guerrilla activities.
And then someone just throws a script that's called Pitfall by the Buddy Brigade in the garbage.
I like that it's set in the 70s.
Hey, this is a Hollywood executive talking. Do you think piss is an accelerant? And he fucking urinates into the garbage can and then throws a lit book of matches.
I mean, you can't produce a script by the Buddy Brigade. WGA rules won't allow it.
That's true. That's one too many writers.
So in any
event, we're all friends and we wrote it together. So all or nothing, Hollywood.
Nothing.
Again, is piss an accelerant?
All right, boys, you want to have some of the best pizza? Let's call up Little Caesars.
Well, they are in Los Angeles. Yeah.
You know what, guys, gentlemen? I think I hear a GoldenEye tournament coming up. We're calling slappers and one-hit kills. Shit, man, that's too dangerous.
Guys, stop shooting Dr. Doak. He's just trying to get his work done.
No, Jake, we're not doing proximity mines again. That's stupid.
Hey, boys, I think I feel a prank phone call coming on.
Beep, boop, bop, boop, beep.
Hello, Little Caesars.
Pizza,
slam.
Oh, let's call Domino's.
Hey,
now.
Hey, Beaks, though, you gotta stop smelling the markers like that, man. The Buddy Brigade doesn't do that shit, man.
Cut back to the pussy pussy. I haven't slept in 7 days.
She's still dead, dude. Make Blaine raise her back from the dead, motherfuck.
Better yet, make her disappear.
All right, who's coming to the Viper Room? Fuck this shit. Who's coming to the Viper Room? Fuck it.
It's
fucking Lever.
Now I'm starting to debate which is worse. I always thought it was the Pussy Posse, but I don't know.
Dude, listen, playing video games, writing bad fan scripts, eating pizza. That sounds pretty cool.
It's a life I've led.
Which is why it's bad.
Yeah, that's a good point. So
somehow they meet back up in the desert with Alfred Molina and his band of dudes.
And at this point, Gemma Arterton has told him that this dagger, when you get to where all the cool sand is, it's going to make it work. There is this tower of sand or something.
It's a big swirly container of sand art.
If you stab it with the dagger, you can actually go back further in time. But if you go back too far in time, the world's going to end from a big sandstorm. There's a lot of stuff about the old gods and the new gods, and I don't care.
It's hogwash.
But basically, the idea is
you call this part of the movie, hey, what's on Twitter?
But apparently, Ben Kingsley's evil plan here.
Right.
When they were kids, they went out walking.
Oh, sure.
And there was a hunt with a lion, and Ben Kingsley saved his older brother from getting eaten by this lion. But if he
older brother, the king, by the way.
Yes. If he doesn't do that, he would have become king himself. And he kind of regrets that decision. It's kind of like, you know, Al Bundy going back to the football game, like his glory days.
You've already done it. You killed him. You killed at this point.
But there's
you
kin,
killed,
motherfucker. There's
you
kin.
You killed everybody, but you would be the next in line, more than likely, other than Jake Gyllenhaal. So really, all you have to do is kill Jake fucking Gyllenhaal.
And Tuss, which
Tuss,
he, which
who's still alive.
He just did. Oh, you see? I thought he was already dead at this point.
No. He will die.
But also, I think that Ben Kingsley is like, I don't want to be a fucking 70-year-old king for a year and a half.
Right, he wants to go back to like being a king where it's like prime fuck time.
Exactly, like Cialis doesn't exist yet. Nothing's going on down there. That's so right. It's like, not even Viagra. I mean, it's a real tragedy.
The Dark Ages.
is there some special sand for that?
So we're camping out in the desert. And this is where the awesome fucking snake attack happens.
Yes.
And Gyllenhaal sees what's going on and he backs everything up. And he also remembers, this is like an annoying video game thing where it's like people who are really good at video games like notice the patterns instantly. Whereas yes. I have to die 1,000 times before
I get it.
So this is Gyllenhaal sees where all the snakes come from at once, backs it up so he can like just flawlessly kill them. And there is one moment that is truly fantastic. He fucking holds out a torch and the snake like goes right onto the torch, like slipping on a fucking Jimmy hat, man. It's awesome.
Wow. There is, speaking of great snake action. Speaking of great snake action, when Toby Kebbell is killed, which actually happens a little bit after that, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
Whatever. They steal the knife. Snake guy steals the knife. You know how he steals the knife? He fucking puts it inside of a snake.
I love it.
He's using his best friends as fucking luggage.
Snake smuggling.
But what's rad, though, is he doesn't like, you know, he's like a snake soother kind of guy.
Yeah,
right? He doesn't like enchant this snake to like throw it back up. He just cuts that snake open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the goriest part of the movie, which is unfortunate, but you just see like snake guts.
So at this point, there is the guy from the Baka tribe has to steal the dagger. He draws the short straw or something. They're like, hey, you're in this movie. So he goes to steal the dagger from this throne room. He gets in a pretty cool fight with the guy that can shoot daggers.
It's not a bad thing.
You throw daggers, I shoot them kind of a fight.
And this was where, just out of old curiosity, I decided to hit the old pause button.
Uh-huh.
We're talking like 35 minutes left.
It's a lot of crazy.
I couldn't even stand it.
And the Mubaka guy is dealing with this guy who looks like Richard Belzer.
He kind of does.
Oh, wow, yeah. I never would have thought that.
Yeah, wow.
That's totally accurate.
Ah, there's UFOs in Persia. hitcha.
Oh, you think it's part of the Belzerverse where it's SVU, Homicide, Prince of Persia?
Yep, absolutely. X-Files.
Yep, all of it.
All parts of it. Totally.
The Persian government doesn't want you to know that the moon is a space station.
Arrested Development, that's included in
it. It's all there. It's all one arc.
The Munchverse.
He gets the dagger in his dying breath. It's a stupid thing where he throws it and it goes right into a tree.
Right. He throws it out the window.
Yeah.
From this like a 1,000-foot tower.
It sails like a paper airplane, dude.
It should hit somebody in the fucking side of the head.
He's the best with knives. So even in his dying breath, when he's not even looking at where he's thrown it, it's perfect.
And this is the line that hits like a thud, is Alfred Molina grabs the knife out of a tree and gives it to Jake Gyllenhaal. I was like, did I ever tell you about the M'Baka tribe? And Jake Gyllenhaal was like, yes, you did. And it's like, who could care?
Well, because he says it's sad because he's like, see, what did I tell you about the M'Baka tribe, man?
All right.
That dude's definitely dead because I'm saying it sadly.
See, Will Scarlet's dead. So now let's go get the Sheriff of Nottingham, your uncle.
Pretty much.
And, a little bit.
And it's very Robin Hood. He convinces his third and final brother that by killing him. So he goes to his brother, he confronts him in his throne room, and he's like, you killed our father. He's like, no, I didn't. It was actually our uncle. He's like, no way. What? That guy evil? I don't believe it.
That's just Ben Kingsley.
Exactly. And to prove it, he's like, look, this is how this knife works. Let me show you. You click this little button here, et cetera, et cetera. He stabs himself in the heart.
Absolutely. This dude's taking it hardcore, man. He's like, you don't believe me? Here we go. We're going to hell tonight.
But also, wouldn't he be like, oh, cool. My brother, who's a traitor, just killed himself. Awesome. What's for lunch?
What the dude says, though, he has some line where he's basically like, oh, fuck. Like, he killed himself. He must be telling the truth. Yes. Like, he's
also
really taking it to the fucking hill with this one.
It's a red button.
You gotta
am I going to not push it? Yeah. Am I going to not push the red button?
Exactly. But it's impossible.
What if he takes it? He's like, oh, that sucks. Bury that guy. And then, like, he goes to the bathroom, and then he clicks. Ah, let me see the button. He's like, wow, I can go to the bathroom again.
Whoa, the shit went back into me.
Oh, there's a really dumb thing right here.
What, in Prince of Persia, Sands of Time?
So before Tuss uses the dagger, so like Jake Gyllenhaal has the whole explainer thing. Then right before this dude's going to do it, there's fucking voiceover of Jake Gyllenhaal saying the thing he fucking said no more than 10 seconds ago. Like, come on, Disney. And I know you have to do stuff for like younger audiences or audience at large, whatever. But seriously, how stupid do you think people are watching your movie that you have to repeat a line of dialogue that happened 10 seconds ago?
Great question.
That's really disrespectful to your audience. Like, is everybody paying attention? This is like the 9th time we've pressed this fucking button.
People might have fallen asleep by now.
Oh, it's for the nappers.
Yeah.
I see.
And
some dude's waking up. He's like, where's Sesso? That guy was my favorite. Oh, he threw a knife out the window and died. Oh, what happens if you push that button?
Oh, well, that's the whole movie. That's the Sands of Time.
Guys, this movie stinks. Let's put on GoldenEye again.
Oh, the man with the golden gun. One shot kill, dude. That's pretty sick.
Don't say stinks.
Nobody plays our job. What are you doing?
That's cheating. No, that's cheating. Restart the level. Restart the level.
It was fucking cheating.
It was.
Either everybody gets to be odd job or nobody's odd job. Because that dude was short and he could get you.
I just want to like buy a system and kind of have a weekend. Anybody in?
Yeah, I'm in, dude.
Why don't we do the Buddy Brigade for real?
I think we have for 10 years. FYI.
Oh, man, twist ending. We are the Buddy Brigade. Oh, fuck.
You're in one.
Better start learning about a Buddy Brigade, boy, because you're in one.
So in any event, this guy's like, oh, my God, Jake Gyllenhaal's good. Ah, that's it.
Dude, immediate throat cutting right there by Ben Kingsley. One slash and that dude's done.
Pretty cool. Pretty good violence here.
Yeah, I liked
Disney,
it.
Yeah.
And so Ben Kingsley goes down to the secret lair of the fucking secret sand.
He this whole time has had some team excavating this shit.
Sure.
Well, and he just gets dude in this is in charge of it.
Oh, right.
My favorite part of this movie, actually, when he finally gets the dagger, like in this scene when he cuts fucking what's-his-face's throat, Toss's throat, he grabs the dagger, and as he's leaving, he goes, yeah! Like, anyone else get that? He's like, yes!
I did not see that part.
To go off the Belzer verse again, this actually makes sense, because technically this is a deep underground military base, because these assassin dudes are military. Ben Kingsley's kind of military.
That's
and
true.
They're excavating this secret technology, time travel.
The sand glass, as it's called.
This is all just one big X-Files episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Between this and the fucking war in Iraq, a very obvious allegory, you know, there's stuff going on in Prince of Persia Sands of Time, it turns out.
Yeah, this movie's really saying something.
There were no WMDs, but there were time travel devices.
Exactly.
That they were hiding.
And it was Saddam's brother the whole time.
Every time, as you know.
Damn it. Randy Hussein.
Yeah, we killed a good guy, turns out.
They go down, we fight Snake Guy in the final thing, and somehow Snake Guy's snakes turn against him? Like, he gets bit in the face by his own snake.
Well, yeah, doesn't...
Jemmy Anderson,
she throws it at him.
Exactly.
Yeah, she grabs it in his eye. I mean, I feel like... And plus, the snake probably saw this guy mistreating other snakes. Like, that fucking guy tries to use
Well, he
him.
Saw him use that fucking torch like a fucking condom. His condom snake.
He fucking ripped his cousin open just because he had a dagger in
there. Yeah, I think we're all luggage.
And around here, is this where we get like the temples falling down and all the sand? Yeah, it's kind of video game-esque.
Oh, big time.
I kind of like this scene.
This scene's kind of fun.
It's so stupid how it starts, though. Like, Gemma Arterton's like, all right, Jake Gyllenhaal, just follow in my footsteps because...
Hey, did you ever see Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
Exactly. Like, you got to walk exactly where I walk and no other part of the floor can be touched. And there's a fucking dumb moment of comedy here where a big brick falls and Jake Gyllenhaal catches it and is like, whew. And then, like a Looney Tunes short, a little pebble falls, and he can't reach it, and like this whole thing starts collapsing.
And then you cut to Sean Connery, who goes, Jehovah spelt with an I.
So this, he's fucking surfing on this sand and parkouring all over the place. Listen, parkour is cool when you use it once in a movie.
Yeah.
Like Casino Royale, there's that one parkour scene. It's fucking great. When your whole movie is parkour, that's a par problem.
You know, and all this Indiana Jones talk is making me think like, holy shit, you know, for all this movie's faults, Temple of Doom is the more racist movie, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. They eat monkey brains in that movie.
Ew! Eat your snake soup. Don't want to offend them.
Look, this is what these people do, Marion. I'm sorry.
My name's Willie.
Oh, that's right.
Whatever.
Great. You're calling me after your girlfriend you haven't met yet because this is technically a prequel.
Yeah, that's right. I'm part of the Pussy Posse 1940s. Me, Errol Flynn, Clark Gable. Jimmy Stewart wouldn't take us up. He's part of the Buddy Brigade.
Yes, that's right. We're all in the Buddy Brigade. We play board games together. We play backgammon.
I am Bela Lugosi. I am part of the Pussy Posse.
Oh, definitely.
I'm the token foreigner in the Pussy Posse.
I love this. I love that it's like through time. Like,
it's like the skulls.
It's
like
a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It goes throughout. In any event.
Would a Dracula count as the magician, or do you need like a 1940s magician?
Oh, Harry Houdini, dude. He was right there.
Was he dead? He was probably dead by then, right?
By the 40s, maybe. But if
he was in
like
the last gen, like the 20s with like John Barrymore and shit?
I think the elder statesman of the Buddy Brigade would probably have to be Spencer Tracy.
I think Chaplin, too, maybe. Or was he a... Was he a poon hound?
No, he fucked his cousin, right? Like
yeah, but that's what a buddy would do. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, Chaplin was the dude that had like the innocent character of the tramp, but that dude was fucking and drinking and smoking all through the night.
Okay,
man.
All right.
He's part of the Pussy Posse.
Nice.
Buster Keaton, he was in the Buddy Brigade.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Or maybe Harold Lloyd. Harold Lloyd was definitely in the Buddy Brigade.
Yeah, the love interest of the modern day Buddy Brigade is Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Guys, stop going after my sister.
Oh, man.
Here we go again. You want to watch Secretary again?
But Buddy Boyo, she's related to you. That makes her even more sexalicious.
Sexalicious?
I'm going through puberty.
I'm 27 years old.
You know who else could definitely be in the Buddy Brigade? Devon Sawa.
Ooh, yeah.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. So in any event, there is there's a big fight between Ben Kingsley. One of many fights between Ben Kingsley, all of 5'3" and 71 years old. And Jake Gyllenhaal looks like fucking Bane in this movie.
Dude, and Ben Kingsley is fucking handing Jake Gyllenhaal his ass in this fight scene. What are we talking about?
And Gemma Arterton falls. He catches, Gyllenhaal catches her. And at this point is like, let me go. And this is what, like, you know how this movie's ending. Like,
of course.
So she falls to her death.
Pretty cool.
Well, it's kind of fun. I mean, here's my question. So if you're like in this noble moment where you're like, let me go. It's for the history. You know what I mean? Like, because the world isn't going to end if this doesn't go the right way.
Bye.
I will, you know, let me go. He's like, I won't let you go. And he lets her go. And she screams like it's a surprise. Like, I don't know.
Listen, you're falling and you know you're going to die. You're going
to
scream.
All right. Here's the greatest way to handle that. Steve. Put yourself in that position. Mm-hmm. Would you scream?
You're definitely screaming, Steve.
He'd be dead 4 days ago.
An ostrich stomped on him.
You're right. It was like the running of the bulls, and Steve was trampled to death by the ostriches.
He's not hanging out to face eternity, as she is, apparently.
Nah, she's braver than I am.
I think it's... to this movie's credit, which I'm doing a lot, I think it's
I think this is your favorite movie, dude.
Favorite of all time. No, I think it's good that you have her die here, because it doesn't fucking matter, because we're doing time travel anyway.
Yes, we kind of add the stakes, and that's, you kind of start realizing, oh, maybe everyone's going to live. So he puts the dagger inside the glass. We're going back and forth.
Yeah.
And this is my question. So Jake Gyllenhaal, I guess, knocks over Ben Kingsley at some point.
I think that's the idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's the only one who travels back in time, right? Not Ben. Do they both go back in time?
Or does
Ben
Kingsley? No, only Gyllenhaal. And he's the only one that knows what happened in this entire adventure here.
Yes. We go all the way back to the sacking of Alamann.
To your point, though, Steve, like, they're both sucked into this time tornado.
Exactly. That's why I was confused.
It also just goes back to this arbitrary point. Like, why here?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
When he first touches the dagger.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the first times he has the dagger.
No, so
is that true, though?
Yeah, because he's looking at it when he comes back.
I guess you could only travel back to the point in time when you had the dagger. So
Lifetime, dude. It's like fucking Quantum Leap.
Yeah. So Ben Kingsley trying to become king of Persia doesn't make sense then either, because when did he get the dagger? He never did. How far can he travel back to?
But if he wakes
up, I guess maybe that's not a thing. Maybe I'm just making up that you travel back to when
that's why I'm saying I think it's just like this arbitrary point where they just back the movie up.
But if he wakes up in his bed before the whole movie happens and the plane engine goes in anyway.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work? Mm-hmm. Like, was his sister and his mother even on that plane? Or is that
all around us are a million snakes. Happy birthday, million snakes.
No, while he wakes up crying or whatever happens.
That's right, dude. Patrick Swayze is getting arrested, getting his hand cut off.
Instead of the snake assassins, it's Sparkle Motion.
That team also had Snake Guy, Whip Girl. They were all there.
So he winds up back at the sacking of Alamann right before this big party. He speaks to this raucous crowd like Ben Kingsley is a deceiver, da ba da ba.
Right.
And we kind of fight, and like he kills Ben Kingsley pretty quickly, and everyone cheers, and I'm like, wait, what?
Maybe it's just they hated their boss the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, all of his brothers are obviously still alive at this point.
Yeah, everybody hates Uncle Ned.
And at the end of this movie, Toss is like, you know, Princess Tamarine or whatever her name is, Tamina, I was going to take you for myself, but actually, since my brother was so cool about that whole thing.
She just killed our uncle out of nowhere. I don't know what is going on, but you can marry the princess.
Yes, pretty much.
Pretty, yeah.
And then, like, they have some kind of knowing conversation. I think she knows he went back in time a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, because she's a guardian of the dagger, so she knows it exists. So I guess there's...
Because he's kind of being weird, and she's like, oh, if this dude's being weird like that, I don't think she knows the score. I think she knows, like, something went down.
Yes.
Because this dude's being a little familiar or something like that.
Best fuck him.
I think people in that confrontation with... Yes, exactly. But in that confrontation with Ben Kingsley on the steps of the city, it seems too convenient that everyone's just willing to sell out Ben Kingsley after, like, 40 years of servitude.
Yeah.
Like, it's very fast.
There seems... Especially this is kind of his army, too, right? Because this is, like, his loyal faction. Yeah.
He doesn't even have, like, a parlor thing where he's like, all right, fine, I did try to fucking do it, and you're a loser does, and I hate my brother.
He does try to strike back and kill Jake Gyllenhaal in this moment, so maybe that's the confirmation, but it just seems way too convenient. Like, we're wrapping up the movie, let's just do it.
You're totally right.
This stinks of test audience. Like, we don't like the ending where the lady dies.
Yeah.
Can we have the ending where the lady does not die if and they probably fuck?
No, first of all, that definitely never happened, because she definitely lived till the end of this movie, because that's just this bad fucking time travel screenplay. This movie never had an original ending where she was dead forever.
I feel like...
Kevin, the whole fucking point of the movie is turning back time so none of that happened.
It just felt tacked on to me.
It's not tacked on, but it's bad, which is the same thing as tacked on.
You're in one.
You're in a bad time travel movie.
You better start. Better stop believing in logic because you're in one.
Guys, that movie stunk. Let's put on Stranger Tides and jerk off under a blanket. Separate blankets. Separate blankets.
A blanket. You're in one.
All right, fine. We'll play WCW versus NWA Revenge, but no one gets to be Kevin Nash. We remember what happened last time, and that was unfair.
Oh, man, he brought up the Nash incident. Thought we agreed never to talk about that in the Brigade ever again. Topher's mom got so mad.
Hey, do you guys have your Dishwalla tapes? They're the best... Aren't they, guys?
Sorry, I gotta leave early, but I'll see you dudes on Saturday at the Third Eye Blind concert.
A dude, dude, dude. A dude, dude, dude. A dude, dude, dude. A dude, 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 dude.
That's Jake Gyllenhaal driving in like a $90,000 car.
Oh, man. He's using that radio flyer money.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in that movie?
No, what am I thinking of?
October Sky.
Different movie about kids making shit.
Mm. Wasn't Elijah Wood in Radio Flyer? Maybe I'm making that up.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
so that's also one of the cooler...
Yeah, well, he's the elder statesman of the Buddy Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, farts, man. And the movie's over with.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated it. Would anybody recommend it?
I'm closer to Eric in terms of this film. I think
closer to Eric.
You're
guys,
in
you
one.
Guys, you're going to watch Party of Five tonight?
You want to be closer to Eric. You're in one. Get out of me.
Inside the belly of the beast.
No, but I still think this movie is forgettable and boring, but I think that there's some high points. I don't think it's a hangover movie. I will very soon forget this film.
No, it's bad. It's really boring. There's like nothing to it. Like, you know, there's no side quests. It's a video game movie.
Yeah.
And there's no like cool little, let's do a little thing here. No, it's just like, here's the story. You kind of know what the story is. You know how it's going to fucking end. Boom, it's over.
The side mission of this movie is they watch an ostrich race. Well,
that's the one.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought that was pretty sharp myself.
And that's to get them fucking Alfred Molina as a soldier.
Right.
Well, you party up, get those XP points.
Yeah. Okay.
I will lightly recommend it. And I do think it's a hangover movie because you can fall asleep at any time and you're fine. You wake up. You know the score. The dagger goes the back of you know what's happening. Plus, there's not huge explosions or bullets. It's a sword and sandals thing, so it's not going to be too aggressively loud for your hangover. I mean, I understand it's not good.
I would hope so.
I don't know what's happening to me, but yeah, it's. I would say lightly.
Woof. Yeah, this is a hard no. It's a hard no. It's instantly forgettable. You know, it's a video game adaptation, man, and it's tough for me to give a shit already. Couple that with the fact that it's a sword and sandal thing, which is not my bag. It's a hard no for me on this one.
I would say the Tomb Raider is worse than this film.
The 2001
Lara. The Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
I agree with that. I think that's worse. I think The Island is worse. I think this is... Are you having a bowel movement?
Yes.
it's the sound that he makes when he has a BM and when he tries to use his brain.
Yeah. It's hard, guys.
I don't know. I don't like the Tomb Raider movie either, but that with these movies, like, I just have to gauge it on which held my attention longer, and that did. Okay. I don't know if it was like the bad fucking techno soundtrack.
Oh, I know what it was.
The
Daniel Craig.
No.
Mr. Alex West.
Yeah, oh,
that
yes.
is Daniel Craig. Yeah,
yeah.
I think The Island is a better movie just because it's the competent hands of Michael Bay and Michael Newell's just kind of like.
Well, what are you talking about The Island for? We're talking about video games.
Well,
adaptations.
I just said that this was better than The Island.
Oh, sorry.
But by the way, speaking of Lara Croft Tomb Raider, that is our Patreon episode this month. We talk about a lot of shit on there. PS2, lot of gaming stuff. We talk
Parappa
about
the Rapper.
Yes, Parappa.
Oh, I learned what that was on the show. I forgot about that already.
Know. We already recorded that episode and it was a lot of fun. So check it out on patreon.com/wehatemovies, probably end of the week or something.
Something like that, sure. But that is Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time from 2010, directed by Mike Newell. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out that Patreon, patreon.com/wehatemovies. Now, this was only the first
of several weeks. It's the listener request month. So thank you again to Brian from Louisville for calling that one in. And Steve Sadak, this is rolling on. What are we talking about next week?
A movie that I've never seen. I still haven't seen up to this point. It's a movie called Vibes.
Yeah.
With Sir Jeff Goldblum and Dame Cindy Lauper.
That's right. This was a movie that was actually recommended to me like years ago when we first started the show.
Oh, really?
Somebody was like, oh, you're doing a show where you talk about bad movies. Have you ever seen Vibes? And I was like, no. And that was almost 10 years ago, and I still haven't seen fucking Vibes. I will say just a warning to the folks out there that like watching shit beforehand. This is a little hard to find, as I understand it.
Get your sleuthing hats on, gentlemen.
I believe
and ladies.
I think I read somewhere that it may or may not be on Crackle.
Oh,
I don't know. If that's okay. True.
I don't. Somebody should ask David Spade about it.
Yes, exactly.
He'll know.
And I might be wrong. I might be wrong.
All I know is the four of us are sharing a standard def DVD.
Yeah.
Find it if you can.
With the Buddy Brigade.
That's right. I mean, and otherwise, just take our word for it. This movie exists. So until next week with Vibes, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Sisk.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.